The reading from Luke. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that we swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. For the word of God that is written, for the word of God among us, and the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Zach, for being our liturgist and for the reading this morning. Some of my very favorite theological tools do not come from traditional places. Not a great theologian, not a Christian thinker at all, but definitely a great singer of the 1960s, Mary Isabel Catherine Bernadette, better known as Dusty Springfield, accidentally developed what I think might be the very best shorthand for Advent practice. Wishing and hoping and thinking and praying, planning and dreaming. These are six forms of active anticipation. Only the first verse is relevant. After that, it gets kind of very irrelevant. But these are six forms of active anticipation. To wish, to hope, to think, to pray, to plan, to dream. These are six forms of active anticipation that Dusty identified in this classic song, and that we may use as a memory device as we enter this Advent practice of hoping for peace in our world. I want to tell you how and kind of get into the details of these six different elements, but first, I have to leave you in anticipation. Would you join me in prayer? May the stirrings of our hearts, the musings of our souls, and the words of all of our lips all be signs, harbingers of your peace in our world, for our families, for ourselves. May I not fail you, God, this morning in speaking a word of truth with your people here assembled. Amen. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Benedictus Dominus Deus. With these words, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, starts his great song of praise and peace, known throughout the church universal and in all time as the Benedictus, or the great invocation of all of the gospel good news to come. Today, our scripture that Zach read is, in fact, the Benedictus, the invoking of peace in our world. The bells are ringing through our text today for peace to come in the coming of Christ. The Benedictus, the scripture from this morning, is used in the Matins as the foundation of the Matins for nuns and monks around the world. It is the foundation of many communion liturgies across Christian traditions. And historically, it was the traditional way to begin worship in lieu of a call to worship. In all, this beautiful poem of Zacharias, which is exclusively found in the Gospel of Luke, symbolizes the hope for peace in all and every Christian tradition across difference of time, space, and place. Now, it communicates two things. The first half of the Benedictus through verse 75 is looking backwards through time at all that God has done and how God has kept God's promises with God's covenanted people. It's an accounting, if you will, of God's peace in the times of the past. The second half of the Benedictus, which begins with verse 76, is forward-looking. It looks forward with anticipation. We hope that God will guide our feet in the way of peace forever and ever. It is this latter part, the hope for peace, that I think we probably need to focus on today. Today, in this second Sunday in Advent, traditionally the one Sunday a year we reserve for talking about peace, we really need to talk about the Benedictus. It calls for a time soon approaching and already breaking upon us, thinking of the cracking of an egg, where we are guided in the way of peace, and our feet cannot help but dance. Moreover, I think it raises a really important and somewhat disturbing question for us as modern Christians, a moral and ethical, a theological question. How dare we say the word peace in our time? With so much verbal, emotional, physical, psychological, I would say technological, and even internalized violence, how dare we as the church speak about peace? How can we be so brave? How can we talk about peace and God's promise of peace and not make ourselves into liars? Or even worse, make God out to be a liar? It is dangerous work, this work of speaking about peace in our time and about God's promise for peace and the anticipation that it will come. So the word I would use to describe all of the Benedictus is this word, anticipation. Now, anticipation is a word that typically we think of as kind of a neutral state. How much work does it take to anticipate something? Very much work? Not really. I anticipate that it might snow today. I anticipate that maybe I'll get Christmas gifts. I anticipate world peace. Our scripture today is the very definition of the community holding this sacred idea of anticipation. Now, unfortunately for us, I have to say, the word anticipation has been incorrectly defined since the Victorian era as something passive and something easy. If you look at the actual meaning of the word anticipation, it comes from anti, meaning before, and sapation, meaning an activity. So literally, the word anticipation, to anticipate something, to anticipate peace, means the act of being before or in advance of others in doing something, not just waiting for something. Anticipation has more to do with being avant-garde than it has to do with being peaceful or hopeful. Christians are called to walk the walk and to anticipate the world with action before anyone else might catch up. This means that rather just imagining that it might snow, it means getting your skis out or your snow boots out. Rather than just hoping that God will bring peace on Christmas, it means that we have to start living ourselves in a way of peace right this minute. Yes, it's cliche, but let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me is what the Benedictus is saying. Anticipation is not a passive hope, just sitting around and waiting for Christmas to come, but it is the art of actively waiting. It is the art of being before others in preparedness for what God has promised. Let us again look at verses 76 through 79, and I'm just going to read them in the King James Version because it's fun. And thou, child, shall be called prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Now, a trick question. How many of you think the Benedictus, the scripture that Zach read this morning in the context of the Gospel of Luke, is actually about Jesus? You guys are all smarter than I am. It actually has very little to do with Jesus in the context of the story. It's a song sung by John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, on the day of his son's circumcision, which is his day of becoming human in some ways. John the Baptist is sort of an overlooked figure in the shadow of Jesus, but make no mistake, he is the wind beneath Jesus' wings. He anticipates the peace of Christ in many ways and makes it possible. In many ways, anticipation, the practice of being before and creating a path, is the business of John, as it is our business as the modern church. If Christmas is the celebration of Jesus Christ, then in many ways, I like to think of Advent as the celebration of John the Baptist. And the very real, the very important, the very overlooked work of making peace possible. Today we ring the bells because peace is on its way. The Benedictus, friends, is our song. It's your song. Because you are John the Baptist in the Christmas story. Think of it this way. Have any of you been in a Christmas pageant before? If not, I'd recommend coming at 3 p.m. On Christmas Eve, and you can see how this goes, dinosaurs and all. But if you're in a Christmas pageant, how many of you want to be the angels? I do not want to be the angels. So how many of you like to be the shepherds with their flocks? Or how many of you have ever played Mary in a Christmas pageant? Anyone ever play Mary in a Christmas? Some of you have. Or Joseph? Some of you I know think that you're the baby Jesus. We're going to work on that one. But I think in the entire Advent Christmas narrative, if you look at it on the whole, the character that we are meant to play as the church is John the Baptist. None of the popular characters. We are meant to be the one preparing the way over and over, day in and day out, for Jesus. As much fun as it is to be shepherds or angels or any of the others. Today we are called, or the sheep, yes. Today we are called to be John the Baptist. The work of anticipation, of creating ways and practices for peace, is our job in this short season before Christmas and really every day of the year. We are called to the work of lived anticipation. Now, I am against preaching and not leaving you with some tool to do this anticipation work, right? It's like, oh, great, now we have to make peace happen, but how do we do that in 3 short weeks? So this is where it comes into the song by Mary Isabel Catherine Bernadette, better known as Dusty Springfield from 1962. I think that Dusty wrote what is the best unintentional Benedictus description of Advent of all time. Better than even the church fathers and mothers, Dusty wrote a song that describes the meaning of active participatory anticipation. So I never want you to hear that song again, whether it's in the opening credits of My Best Friend's Wedding or on the radio, and not think of Advent again. It is a 6-point to-do list for you in this season. And if you forget, YouTube can help. It goes like this. Wishing and hoping and thinking and praying, planning and dreaming that Christmas will come. And there will be peace in your hearts. We need a Benedictus today more than ever, a new one. Each of the 6 practices identified in the beginning of that 1962 anthem is a different way to actively participate in Advent. So let's go through them one by one as I close my sermon. The first, wishing for peace. A wish is defined as a desire for something that is thought to be unattainable. So I want you to take the practice of wishing for peace. Sit in a sacred place and set an intention for peace for the world. Wishing for peace means that you gather every cell of your being, all that you want, and you put it into what seems impossible. How many of you remember writing Christmas letters to Santa? I still write my annual Christmas letter to Santa. It's a spiritual practice. And I want everyone here to think about doing this. And write your wish for peace this year as your wish for Santa to bring in his sleigh. Right? It, with the same motivation and intention and intensity that you wished for a Tonka truck, or you wished for a donkey or a BB gun or an iPhone. Write your wish to Santa for peace in our world with that same intention. Wishing is an act of utter rebellion against the tyranny of the possible. Hoping for peace. Now, hoping is a much more delicate process than wishful willpower. Hoping is allowing yourself to not let go of what you wished for, even if it's your fifth Christmas writing that same letter. Time and time and time again. Hope is the persistence of a wish. Don't let your hope go away. Name it and claim it, and know that your hope for peace can become something again. How are you protecting the hope in your heart? How are you cultivating that hope and reigniting it? Thirdly, according to Dusty, we should be thinking about intention, thinking of peace. We spend time thinking and brainstorming about all kinds of things and making to-do lists. We cannot give into the narrative that everything good has already been thought of. We are called to spend time thinking intentionally about what peace means in our lives and in the lives of those around us. New frameworks are always needed for every generation and every time. What can you think of? Fourth out of the six, praying for peace. Now, this is really important. Thoughts and prayers have become a little bit cliche, haven't they? A little bit passé, perhaps? After every mass shooting, every murder, every tragedy, people tweet or post, "I'm sending my thoughts and prayers." I am convinced, however, that nobody who publicly tweets or says or comments casually that I'm sending thoughts or prayers is actually praying at all. If they were, God would have already done the work of changing their hearts to change policy. If they were, there would be no more war. So don't just say that you're going to pray for someone. Saying it isn't the same as doing. Actually, pick a chair in your house and designate it the prayer chair, and take time to sit in that chair and spend 5 to 15 minutes a day just praying for peace. It's one thing to say you're offering your thoughts and your prayers. It's a whole nother to actually do it. Fifth, planning for peace. Now, I know we have some strategic planners here. You know, we have some maybe even city planners. We have people who like to plan. Who likes to plan at Plymouth? Yes, we like to plan. So I want you to take a pen and a paper and draw the world as you would see it being peaceful. If you're more keen on prose, write a poem about peace or a short story for yourself about peace. If you're a teacher, maybe do the practice of writing a teaching plan about what peace would mean. Use your own discipline, but plan for peace and make it a masterwork of your own. For how can we know what to wish for or hope for if we haven't even planned for its arrival? Sixth and finally, dreaming of peace. This is the art of letting go. It is the art of finding a meditative practice that helps you find peace in yourself. You cannot control your dreams or your subconscious, but find ways to bring peace to your own hearts before you go to sleep. Then and only then can God anticipate, build action and capacity for peace in your own life that you can share with others. Wishing, hoping, thinking, praying, planning, dreaming. We are called to be John the Baptist in the Christmas story. We are the ones who set the stage for hope, for prayer, and for dreaming about bringing peace into reality. The Benedictus is not just something said during liturgies or in matins, but it is your theme song, your anthem. Claim it in this season as we anticipate Christ with intention and purpose. And if you forget, just think of the opening lines to this song. Wishing and hoping and thinking and praying, planning and dreaming, because peace can come. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, Benedictus Dominus Deus, to give them light, those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Amen.